Came across this story. A Swiss guy was looking for directions in America. And he pulled up to a bus stop, and there were two Americans standing at this bus stop. "Entschuldigung, können Sie Deutsch sprechen?" he says. The two Americans just look at him, blank stare. "Excusez-moi, parlez-vous français?" Nothing, blank stares. "Parlare italiano?" Nothing. "Hablan ustedes español?" Nothing. Blank stares. And so the Swiss guy drives off. He's extremely disgusted. The first American turns to the other guy and he says, "You know, maybe we should learn a foreign language." "Why?" says the other. "That guy knew four languages and he didn't help him." Choices. Choices that we make each and every day. Every day we make choices. Just think about the number of choices that you have made since you woke up this morning. You made the choice to get out of bed, to shower before or after breakfast, or at all. What's for breakfast? Yogurt, granola, or maybe Fruit Loops, Cap'n Crunch. Coffee or tea, milk or fruit juice, or just water. Sunday. Should I go to church or not? Well, most of you decided to come. Some of you still might be deciding whether or not. That was a good decision, but you decided what to wear, what to put on, and which car you're going to drive, and how to get here, and which route you're going to take, and as you got here. Life is full of choices. With each choice that you make, you have the opportunity to go in one direction, towards the apple, or in the other direction, towards the cupcake. Many of these choices are much more complex and difficult. And when you take into consideration the options you have, because it's not always a choice between two things, right? Sometimes it's a choice between a few things that you have to decide between. I mean, sometimes you go into a restaurant especially, that's where I really find it the most. And, you know, you got to make a decision about what to eat. And this menu is like 5 pages thick, and you got to weave through it and go through it. I prefer those restaurants that give you like 2 or 3 choices. And yeah, that's the one. That's the one I'm going to go to. With each choice that you and I make, we do set a course for our lives. And it's easy to look even at some people who seem to have some measure of success or achievement. And we praise the achievement, and maybe even in praising that achievement, we lose sight of some of the choices, some of the challenging choices that they had made along the way. I think in the summer, right, the Olympics were celebrated in Brazil. And the athletes here, some of them are pictured, the Canadian ones who had the reward of a gold, silver, or medal, gold, silver, or bronze medal. These athletes who made sacrifices, they made choices to train, to give up aspects of their lives. I think of the parents who stand behind these athletes, who chose to support them, to encourage them, to wake them up, to drive them to training, to travel the world with them. Some who are pictured there, Penny Oleksiak, Andre DeGrasse, Christine Sinclair, and the women's soccer team, Derek Druin, a high jumper from a small town in southwest Ontario. I think also, he's not pictured there, but Oakville's own Adam Van Cuverden, who didn't do so well this year, but yet even in the interviews that he had, he was proud. And we as Canadians can be proud of what he did in just giving his best, giving it all. Others have not won the gold medal, but their efforts and their commitment are applauded. They had made a choice. Each one of these athletes made a choice to do this, to work hard, to take a pathway that few will choose. Some saw the reward in a medal. Others will still work hard towards that. I'd like to suggest that along the way, as choices were made, as they saw the fruit of their labor, of their choices taking shape, that actions were taken and words were spoken that have given life to new dreams, inspiration to others, young people who have seen it, even adults who have seen this and witnessed this. Missed this. This is the one I want. Where these choices were inspiring words and actions that speak life. This is what I believe that God is calling us to as his beloved people. The expression of his presence here on earth, the body of Christ, the people of God, the church. To choose life. Loving God with our whole hearts, with our mind, soul, and strength, to choose a life of trust and obedience to God, to choose a life that is surrendered, given over to God's rule, and then to allow this choice to inspire in us words and actions that speak life to each other, speaking life to our families, speaking life to our communities, to our workplaces, to wherever God has called us. And as we begin a new season of ministry, this is what we want to give attention to. As God continues to write the story of our lives, individually and as a church, may the choices that we make inspire words and actions that speak life. I want to read a passage of scripture taken from one of the longest sermons in the Bible. Moses' last words to the people of Israel. He's nearing the end of his life, and the people of Israel are preparing to cross over the Jordan into the land that was promised to them. God had delivered his people from slavery in Egypt, and through 40 years of wandering through the desert, this group of slaves had somehow been formed into a nation, and they were ready now to enter the land that God had promised. Moses, as I said, will soon die. He will not enter the land with them. They will cross over into the Jordan, or over the Jordan, to enter this land. The book of Deuteronomy is really that sermon, that long sermon, those last words to the people of God from Moses. Towards the end of it, in chapter 28, Moses promised the blessings that would come if the Israelites would follow God, if they would obey his commandments. He then warned of the consequences of disobedience if they would choose not to. In chapter 29, he called them to a renewal of the covenant, renewing their hearts and their promise to follow God. And he reminds them of their failure the many times as they wandered through the desert, of their failure, but how God was faithful. And he reminded them that even through their idolatry and in the idolatry of the nations around them, that they were not to go that way, but that they were to trust in God. He cites again and again God's faithfulness despite their failing. We sang that song, "I Am a Friend of God." I mean, that's the essence of it here, that God speaks to us and he has called us friend. He called these people his friends. And out of that relationship now, he calls them. And he calls them to make a choice. Let me just read part of this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 30, actually beginning in verse 11. "This command I am giving you today is not too difficult for you, and it is not beyond your reach. It is not kept in heaven, so distant that you must ask, 'Who will go up to heaven and bring it down so we can hear it and obey?' It is not kept beyond the sea, so far away that you must ask, 'Who will cross the sea to bring it to us so we can hear it and obey?' No, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart so that you can obey it. Now listen. Today, I am giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands, his decrees and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are about to enter and occupy. But if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you are drawn away to serve and worship other gods, I warn you now, you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long, good life in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. Today, I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessing and curse. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land that the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In these closing words that Moses talks to the people of Israel, he uses the word life about 8 times. Now, the reference to life in this passage and into this challenge is more than the physical beating of the heart or the breathing of the lungs. It's more than just the vital signs that we check for to see if there is any life, sign of life. It's more than just that. But he is inviting them to choose life, all things related to good health, to daily blessings, to happiness and fruitfulness. Life speaks to being strong in body and mind and spirit, thriving in one's personal life and in one's relationships with others. To choose life is to choose wellness in every way. Could we actually turn this down? It seems rather loud. I'm hearing it really loud. It must be really loud. And thanks. To choose death, on the other hand, is to choose a pathway of brokenness, disappointment, and disillusionment. One thing we need to keep in mind as we hear these words is that they are not spoken to a people who did not know the Lord. They are spoken, God is speaking through his servant Moses to a people who knew God. They had experienced God. They had known his presence. God was with them. He led them through the desert all these years. The tabernacle and the cloud by day and the fire by night. They knew this God. These people knew God. They had experienced his presence and all that they had experienced in him. They had experienced his love for them. In redeeming them, they were in a covenant with him. These same words speak to us today, separated by centuries of time, context, and experience. And yet, they speak with clarity to the choices that you and I face every day, to choose life or death, blessing or curse. The gracious, loving call of God to all of us. To all of us who are in a relationship with God, who know his love, who have experienced his forgiveness, who have experienced his grace, it's a call to choose life, to choose to love God, to pursue and obey him, to trust him with my life, or to choose to ignore God as irrelevant, or to reject him for being a cosmic killjoy, to kind of say, well, I don't want anything to do with that because he just kind of is a downer. To love self, to pursue all things related to self, to satisfy self, to trust in yourself. The focus here is not on the eternal destiny of each individual or as the people as a whole, but it is rather on the character of the life. It's a call to choose life, to choose to live in that state of wellness and blessing, to pursue God's love, to pursue him with all your heart. We live in an age where we love lots of choices. We don't like to have our options limited. And so this black and white kind of choice may make us feel uneasy. Maybe even like it's not very fair here to offer only 2 choices. Maybe there's something in the middle there that we can kind of ease with. Until we remember, and this is really the important thing, when we remember that it is a loving God, a God who loves us. Even before we knew him, God demonstrated his love to us. It is a loving God who sets before us these alternatives of life and death. And he asks us for nothing but love in return. These people, the Israelites, just like ourselves, have nothing to deserve God's love. They have done nothing. They've only opposed and rejected him again and again. And yet God invites them. He invites us to choose the pathway of life, and all he asks is that we love him and that we trust in him. Life, wholeness, wellness will flow into them, through them, and out of them as they make that choice. Speak life. That's really the theme of what we want to launch into this next season. Speaking life. What does that mean? I really see that as an overflow of the choice that we make each and every day to choose life. As we choose life, we are enabled to speak life. As we pursue God with all that we are, loving Him with heart and mind, soul and strength, trusting Him to be our help, our source, our life, being obedient to His call, to love our neighbors as ourselves, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to let the fruit of the Spirit be seen in our lives, to serve one another in love, acknowledging that we are flawed, that we are broken, that we are in need of healing, and then choosing to come to the one who heals us, who forgives us, who restores us. That's the choice that we make for life. And as we choose life, we're enabled to speak life. This is the transformation that we need to experience. This is the transforming that God does. The transformation that we need to bring into our world. Speak life. The words of life that you speak flow from the choices and from the choice to live that you make today and every day. Over the next 5 weeks, we are going to try to understand as a church what that looks like for us as a family. We've tried to discern through prayer and conversations, through asking questions and listening for answers. What is the story that God is telling and that God wants to tell through us as a community of faith here in Oakville? What is our unique contribution to the kingdom of God? Or bringing it even closer to home, what is our unique place in the communities that we live in? Here in Oakville, in Milton, in Burlington, in Mississauga, wherever God has called us to live. As an intergenerational community of worshipers in North Oakville, we exist to pursue God through authentic, experienced relationship with Christ, believing this will transform our lives, our city, and our world. That's really our mission statement as a church. That's the big picture mission statement that we have. We've narrowed it down and we've simplified it in some sense that with this vision that says pursuing God together and seeing lives transformed. I hope that you can see how much what I've said, what God's word through Moses is directing us toward, and that it's encompassed in this phrase. Our vision as the people of God who gather together under this banner of King's Community Church, your pursuit of God, your love for God, your trust in God, your obedience to God, your choosing life is directly related to being transformed. As you choose life, as you pursue God, you are transformed and you are enabled to bring transformation. I'm suggesting that choosing life is allowing yourself to be transformed, and speaking life is allowing yourself to be a transformer, to be an agent of transformation. As we choose life, we are transformed and we become an agent of transformation as we speak life, as we live it out. What is the story that God is inviting us to tell as a church community? How do we? How will we continue to choose life and speak life as the people of God here in this place, but also in the places where we live, where we work and play? God is at work in this church. God is at work in families here in this church. He's at work healing lives. He is teaching. He is shaping and bringing life and wholeness. We've got a little bit of a glimpse in some of the things that we're launching, of just some of the things that really want to take place. We believe God wants to take place here. We want to celebrate and affirm what God is doing. We want to ask and believe God to even do more. And we do that by understanding the story that God is telling here. And we've been considering the values that have shaped us, and we will continue to see how that shapes our story. And over the next 5 weeks, we're going to consider these five different values, which really come out of the conversations that we've had as church, as leaders, different expressions that have been summarized of what our story is, what we value as a church. That we are a place of transformative discipleship as followers of Christ, transformed and changed. We value serving and loving Oakville, hands-on, being a part of serving and loving people. That's who we are. That's what we do. We value authentic experiences of worship, that there's a sense of authenticity in what we offer to God, that this is a place that we as a church, as a people, we value hospitality and welcome. The celebrations that we have one for another, that we value that. And we value a community that is shaped by all ages, that at every age we have an opportunity to be engaged in ministry and to be ministered to. Our choices have the opportunity to inspire words and actions that speak life. May God use each one of us to speak life into someone else, because we were willing to choose life. We were willing to pursue God. We were willing to love God. We were willing to trust Him, to obey Him. May the choice that we make inspire words and actions that speak life around us. In the form of a kind word, a welcoming greeting, a helping hand, a prayer for healing, a listening ear, teaching a child, providing a ride, setting up chairs, making coffee, playing or singing a song, sharing a testimony, participating in a small group. May God bless us as we speak life to our world. And we're going to hear more and more over the next coming weeks as we seek to understand what is the story that God is telling through us as a community, and what is the story that He wants to continue to tell as we consider the values, those things that make us who we are, King's Community Church.